For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are y'all doing this evening? Everybody's all right tonight, huh? That's good. I listened with great interest to the announcement that Tommy made, especially about the Jewel Miller film strips, or that visualize stuff. I have absolutely no idea where that might be, but I do have a suggestion. If Bob Kuntz was the last person to check that out, you might want to check local pawn shop. I picked on Priscilla this morning. It's only right and fair. I'm an equal opportunity offender, I'll tell you. It's good to be here tonight, and it's good to see all of you again. I so enjoy being here. I really do. I enjoy being here. I'm too old, too tired, too worn out, pretty much too stupid to do located work anymore. But I sure do enjoy coming over here when I get the opportunity to do that. And you folks are so encouraging to me, and I deeply, deeply appreciate that. The lesson that we have tonight, I preached for the very first time November the 19th, 1978. And let me see. I have used it 27, this is the 28th time I've preached this lesson since then. You'd think I'd know it by now, wouldn't you? I tell you that simply because as preachers gain experience, and trust me, I didn't have any when I did this lesson. I didn't have it the 27th time I did it, I don't think. But as preachers gain experience, hopefully their sermons improve a little bit. So I think you will enjoy our lesson tonight. I've entitled it, He That Would Love Life and See Good Days. I have a great love for the life that God has given me. I have enjoyed the life that God has given me. And I've really tried to make the best of the life that God has given me. Now, in many areas and at many times, I freely admit I have failed miserably. But I serve a loving God. I serve a merciful God. I serve a God who by the blood, by virtue of the blood of Christ, is willing to forgive and to forget the sin that I commit against him unwittingly. And his word helps me that I might not engage in deliberate sin. It tells me the consequences of such. So over the years, I have really developed a love for life. And I'm sure that you have as well. And yet the world in which we live, you and myself, the world in which we live, there are so many who have lost their love for life. What is the use of living? It seems to be on the minds of so many people in our day and age. There are over 300 suicides. I'm sorry, over 121 suicides in the United States every day. Every single day, 121 suicides. Suicide is the third leading cause of death among those ages 15 to 24. And there's hardly a family that hasn't been affected by that. I had a brother-in-law who committed suicide. And so we've all been affected by these kinds of things. The only reason suicide is not the second leading cause of death among that particular age group is the fact that homicides have now taken over that position. And the reason homicides have taken over that position is because of the drug culture in which we live. And so many of our young men and young women with so much to look forward to and so much life, presumably, in their future, they're saying, what is the use of living? And they're shooting themselves with drugs. They're shooting themselves with weapons. They're doing anything that they possibly can to end a life that seems to have no meaning for them somewhere along the line. They have adopted the philosophy of Buddha. Buddha said, life is an evil thing. Let us be done with it and gain nirvana. Life is not an evil thing. Life is a gift of God, and every good and every perfect gift comes from the God of heaven. And so Peter gives us this great, great formula in the text that Brother Chester so ably read that will enable you and me to enjoy life, love life, and to have good days or to see good days. He said, let us refrain our lips from evil, or our tongue from evil, and our lips that they speak no guile. Turn away from evil and do that which is good, and seek after peace and pursue it. Is there any in this audience who do not believe that we as members of the body of Christ, we as human beings, we as citizens of this great country ought not to have evil speech? Have you noticed the vulgarity that is in the world around you? I remember when Brother Brad Harrob was at Martinsburg some while back. He said, if you think that's going to go away, you're sadly mistaken. If you think Hollywood is going to take the initiative and that vulgar language that we hear when we turn our televisions on is going to subside, he said, you're sadly mistaken. As a matter of fact, they have petitioned the FCC. And I'm giving you what he said. I didn't check this. I really didn't look into this. But I'm just giving you what he said. He said, they have petitioned, Hollywood has petitioned the Federal Communications Commission to broaden the use of foul language in the television programs that we watch and those kinds of things. Peter said, if you want to love life and you want to see good days, you refrain from those kinds of things. Let not your lips speak guile. Does anyone in this audience think we ought not to turn away from evil and do that which is good? Is there anybody in this audience who does not think that we ought to be at peace one with another, especially as members of the body of Christ? Let the denominational world fight and squabble and fuss and all of those kinds of things. We're the people of God. We don't do those kinds of things. We settle any differences that we might have in a godly manner with a prayerful heart and an open Bible before us. Seek after peace and pursue it. I'd like to give you a couple of suggestions tonight for loving life and seeing good days, keeping a love for living. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to Genesis chapter 42. Now this is kind of a lengthy reading, but I want to read a passage of scripture to you, and this sets the background. It kind of sets the tone for what I want to present. Now Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt. There's a great famine in Palestine. And Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look upon one another? Why do you look upon another? And he said, behold, I've heard that there is grain in Egypt. get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy grain from Egypt, but Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure harm befall him. That's a father's love for his son, just like Roland's love for his grandchild, his granddaughter. And the sons of Israel came to buy among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor. You know the story of Joseph, how his brothers' jealousy caused them to sell him into Midianite slavery, Egyptian slavery. Joseph was the governor over the land. Through the providence of God, he rose to the second highest position in the land. And Joseph was the governor over the land. He it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed themselves down to him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren and knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly with them. And he said unto them, whence are come ye? They said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, ye are spies. You've come to see the nakedness of the land. You are come. And they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We're all one man's son. We're true men. Thy servants are no spies. He said to them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land you're come. They said, we're thy servants, our 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. They thought he was dead. One is not. And Joseph said to them, that is it that I spake unto you, saying, you're spies, hereby you shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be bound, that your words may be proved, whether there be truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh. Surely you're spies. And he put them all together in the ward 3 days. Now, this goes on, and to make a kind of a long story a little bit shorter, finally it is agreed that Simeon will stay in Egypt, and his brothers return back to Canaan, and they tell their father what has happened, what has taken place here. They tell their father, this man, we were accused of being spies. And the man said, don't you come back into my land anymore to get any more grain unless you have your younger brother with you. Well, their father didn't want to do that. But ultimately, the famine was great, and he had absolutely no choice. And so the brothers later returned to Egypt, and they have their brother with them. But in chapter 43 and verse 11, Jacob says, now when you go down to the land, you go down into Egypt to get more grain, here's a little advice for you. Their father Israel said unto them, if so be now, do this. Take of the choice fruits of the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a little present, a little balm, and a little honey, spicery, and myrrh, nuts, and almonds. That's pretty good advice for you and me to use going through life, even. Now, we don't necessarily find ourselves in a famine, although such could be. You and I don't find ourselves with family members imprisoned, being held hostage, and under the threat of persecution and death. But that could be. But in the face of this, Jacob said, You take the man down a little bit of honey. A little bit of honey. You and I associate honey with sweetness. And I can tell you right now, you're among some of the sweetest people I know. A smile and a happy disposition. A sweet disposition. A little bit of honey is added to our personality. When we take Jacob's advice in living our lives day in and day out. After all, don't others tend to reflect our personality? I've gone into a hospital room of somebody who was very, very ill. And I was just full of sorrow. And a blue fog or mist would hang over me in my heart. And that individual in there would cheer me up. I would be there to do that for them. They would cheer me up. A happy disposition. Add a little bit of honey to your life, and it will give you a greater love of life. Did not Solomon say, that which maketh a man to be desired is his kindness? In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 22. An individual who is an unkind individual, and we have that sort of individual in the world in which we live. But an unkind individual is the wrong kind of person. Story is told of a woman who had delivered a lecture, and it was a very, very impressive type lesson. And this woman just radiated such pleasantness and such kindness in the deliverance of this lecture that a newspaper reporter was there, and he asked her for an interview, to which she agreed. And the question that he asked her first was simply this: have you always had such a fine disposition? She said, no. Actually, I owe it all to a tramp, to a hobo. You see, when I was young, my father taught us to work and to avoid ever asking anybody for a handout. But she said, I grew up near the railroad tracks, and every once in a while, the hobos would come by asking for a handout. Well, when I got married, my husband and I lived beside a railroad track. And she said, one day, this hobo came by. She said he wasn't the first one. Others had shown up, and I very, very quickly sent them on their way. And she said, I was bound and determined that this one was going to go in the same direction. And so I endeavored to send him on his way. Told him to leave, but he just stood there. He never moved. She said, you're going to get off my doorstep, or I'm going to call my husband. The hobo looked at her and said, he ain't home. If he is, he's sick. Ain't no man going to stay in the house with a woman like you unless he's sick. And she said, you know, I got to thinking about that. That had an impression upon me. And I realized my husband had been working an awful lot of overtime. Take it for what it's worth. An unkind person is not the right kind of person. And she said, I decided right then and there I was going to make some changes in my disposition. I was going to try to make people want to be in my presence. It doesn't make any difference, and you know this. You've said this. Regardless of whatever situation we find ourselves in, you and I can look around and find others who are so very much worse off than are we. Stories told of a man who lost both of his legs. I don't know how it happened. It doesn't really make that much difference. He sat on the sidewalk and begged for money for his living, for his sustenance. And one day he was heard singing above the noise of the traffic. And somebody stopped and they looked at his condition and they said, how on earth can you sing? How can you be happy just sitting here day in and day out depending upon others for your sustenance? And he said, when I first lost my legs, I was a bitter individual. I was mad at the world. I was mad at the incident that caused me to lose my legs. I was mad at everybody involved. I was mad at those who weren't involved. I was a bitter, bitter human being. But they said then, I began to look around and I began to see people who were far, far worse off than me. That enabled me to sing and to be happy and to have a love and a joy for life once again. You and I are going to be happy if you and I are going to see good days, love life. Then let's take a little bit of honey and be as kind as we know how to be. In order to do so, we need to get our priorities straight. There are some who spend an entire lifetime seeking after something, and then once they get it, it just doesn't turn out to be what they thought it would be. You all know the old saying, be careful what you wish for, you might just get it. Well, there's so much truth in that. I heard a story one time about a young fella. His parents had a farm, and he was just an old farmer, like so many were in days gone by, and some even are today. And he was over on the neighbor lady's farm. Now, this neighbor lady was a widow woman. Her husband had died in a farming accident, and she had four children. And this guy was over on her property one day digging for fishing worms, fish bait. And it just so happened that he found this bright, shiny, great big yellow rock. And he looked around to see if anybody else was watching him. And he hid it and took off running home. And do you know, it wasn't long at all before he started calling on this widow lady. Now, she was older than he was. But that didn't seem to make any difference to him. And she called on him, or he called on her rather, and it wasn't long until the I do's were said. And when the final I do was said, he jumped up and down and he said, we're rich, we are wealthy beyond our wildest imagination. And he began to dance a little jig right there in front of the assembly that had come for the marriage ceremony. Well, the wife, being older, she was a little bit more cautious, and so she sent it down to the assayer's office to have that nugget assayed. Iron pyrite. You and I know it as fool's gold. Fool's gold. Here's a young man who is married to a woman he cannot support. He's got four kids that he simply cannot support. He doesn't love them. He doesn't really care about them. All he could see was something gold and shiny and flashy. And pretty soon, he had placed himself in a horrible situation because he just simply did not have his priorities in the right order. You know, Jesus said, there are priorities that you and I need to put first. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Do you know what context behind that passage of scripture is? He's talking to us. He said, you seek first the kingdom of heaven and the necessities of life. All those things that we worry about. Will I have friends? Will I have fame? Will I have fortune? Will I have this? Will I have that? So many are so sad because their entire life is wrapped up in the making of money. And then they realize, I'm going to die. What am I going to do with this? It has no benefit to me in death whatsoever. They're afraid all their life that somebody's going to take it away from them, that they're going to lose it in some way. And then they realize it's not going to help them all at all on their deathbed. And so we need to get our priorities straight. That means we need to give due consideration to character, to honesty. You and I are going to be happy. We need to be honest individuals, trustworthy individuals. The Great Wall of China is just a marvel. It's a wonderful thing. I've never been to it, but I have seen it on television, pictures of it and that sort of thing. It was 20 foot high. It was 13 foot thick, or 13 foot wide. Had towers for garrisons every 100 yards. And it extended for 1,500 miles. But it fell. And do you know why it fell? Because the guards were corrupt. The guards could be bribed. And so character means that you and I have some very, very basic convictions, and we have the courage to stand for those convictions. And until we have found a cause that means more to us than life itself, we've really not found a cause sufficient for loving life and seeing good days. If you don't love your Lord more than you love yourself, you know, Paul told us, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. That's more than your own life, he said. We don't love our Lord more than we love ourselves, more than we love our own life. We're not worthy of our Lord. Sam Davis died by hanging because he refused to violate his conscience. Now, that may not mean anything to most of you, but Sam Davis was a Confederate Army private. I think he was a private. And he was a spy. And he found himself in Northern Territory in Tennessee. And he was captured. And he was tried as a spy. And Grenville Dodge, General Grenville Dodge, gave him the option of telling him who his sources were, telling him how many's in your unit, how many, what are your plans, and all of these kinds of things. Sam Davis refused to reveal because he had character, and he was hanged. You and I would love life and see good days. We need to get our priorities straight. We need to serve our fellow man. We need to be servants. You know, Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I come to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. That's our reason for being here. That's our purpose for being here. And I think we tried to cover that in our lesson this morning. I don't believe there's anybody in all the world who's any more miserable than an individual who just simply lives for the satisfaction of himself or herself. I heard a fable one time, many years ago, of a man who was enabled to visit hell. And he said when he visited hell, a great banquet was prepared there. But the people were starving to death. And the reason they were starving to death was because they had to eat with forks that had 3-foot long handles. And they couldn't reach their mouth with them. They couldn't get them in their mouth. And he said, then I had the opportunity to visit heaven. And he said, there was a great banquet prepared there. And the people there looked much like I do. Looked very well fed. No problem whatsoever. They had to eat as well with forks that had 3-foot handles. How did they do it? They fed one another. They served one another. And so if you and I are going to love life, enjoy life, and see good days. Let's serve our fellow man. We need to be optimistic and energetic. You know, Paul was the eternal optimist. Falsely accused, imprisoned in Rome. These are his words. Now I would have you know, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the progress of the gospel. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. In other words, Paul said, here I am. I know I'm innocent. God knows I'm innocent. My brethren know that I am innocent. But here I am in a situation, as deplorable as it may be, I have an opportunity to reach individuals that I may not otherwise have the opportunity to reach. And so, rather than feeling inept, restrained by the lot in which he found himself, Paul gloried in his situation. And he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why? Because I know in whom I have believed that he is able, he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And when he was out on the sea and the raging waters were threatening to engulf the ship and his sailor companions, they were scared. They were fearful for their lives. Paul told those distraught sailors, you take courage, for God has promised us safety, and I believe my God. Acts chapter 27, verses 22 through 25. And finally, if you and I would love life and see good days, we need to buy the truth and sell it not. We ought not to ask what the price is. Truth is of such value, you can't put a price on it. We value truth in every aspect of our lives. And from so many places anymore, we don't get it. I don't listen to the news because I have no idea whether I'm being told the truth or not. When I open my computer and I look at Facebook or anything on my computer like that, I have no idea whether I'm being told that which is true or not. We're God's people. We ought to have a deep and abiding value for truth. Buy the truth at any price. Sell the truth at no price whatsoever. Solomon said, take hold of wisdom and let her not go. Captain James Lawrence, in the War of 1812, was mortally wounded when his frigate, the Chesapeake, engaged a British vessel in battle. And his dying words have immortalized his name in reality and are now emblazoned above the door of the administration building of the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland. You know what those words are? Don't give up the ship. Perseverance. Perseverance. You and I would love life and see good days. Let us refrain our tongue from evil and our lips that they speak no guile. Let us turn away from evil and do good. And let us seek after peace, pursue it, and let us value truth above any other thing. Now, I know that our lesson hasn't concerned itself with the plan of salvation and those matters, but in this audience, there's not a single person who does not know what you need to do in order to make your life right with God if the need you have. And so if you're subject to heaven's invitation, will you not come? Right now, as together we stand and sing. I am